So thank you very much. Thank you for showing up. I know that Annie Johnson should be here speaking, and she couldn't make it. And she's living my dream. She's a missionary in Africa, and she has all these amazing stories that I'm sure she could share with us. But so in her place, I am gonna speak to you, but still, I wanted to tell you that I am able to take her place just because I'm saved by the same grace, and we have the same Savior, and we have the same God, that God can use us here in the States or in Africa or anywhere in the world, and He can use anyone. This song that we sung, I didn't tell anything to anybody, but I had it in my notes, "A Wonderful, Merciful Savior," because I love that part that says, "You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for." God is the one we adore and the one that we praise, and He gives us grace. And that's one word that has got me through so many things. Just, I am here just because of God's grace, and just, it is God's grace to us. By His grace, I am what I am, and we all can be saved, and we can be here just by His grace. So I love that song, "Wonderful, Merciful Savior." So I wanted to share my testimony because my testimony has a lot to do with missions and specifically with CMML. I didn't know this before, but I do know, well, this is my family, and you already saw them. But so I grew up, I was born in Mexico. I grew up in Mexico. There's a slide later. Well, I'll show you the parts of Mexico, but so I am just regular Mexican family. But on 1952, God leaded the Klingon family, Mr. and Mrs. Robert Klingon, to go to Mexico. They were commended from Dunning Park Bible Chapel here in Michigan, and through CMML. And they went down in Mexico, and this is it's up there. It says Comarca Lagunera, so it's where that blue and red spot are. So it's like almost North Mexico. So in La Comarca Lagunera, there are two cities that, and two states, that is Coahuila and Durango, that are very close together. And so they settled in Coahuila. They started working right away. I think there was a small assembly there already. And maybe, I think the story, I don't know it very well, but the story is it was just a church, and then they were needing people to work there. So Mr. Klingon came in and started working. So they started adopting more of the assembly way of doing things. But then a couple of years later, this is the Klingon family some years later in 1961. So, when they moved down, they just had two kids. Their family grew. And right about that time, the Baca family, so that is my parents, my dad's family, they went down to the same area, to La Comarca Lagunera, to that area in Mexico. My grandfather's work moved him to that same area, and my grandfather needed English lessons, so he looked, and someone recommended Mr. Klingon. And they started meeting together for English lessons, but my granddad got a lot more than English. They started to study the Bible together, and they started having Bible studies together, and they lived in the same neighborhood. So they started to have, on Wednesdays or some week night they started to have Bible studies together, and after a while, they decided to meet on Sundays together too, because the other assembly was well established, and Mr. Klingon wanted to do something in his neighborhood, so he started meeting just with the Baca family. So that's my family. My dad is the one on the lower left end or right end, depends how you're looking. And this is the Klingon family. So they will all have Bible studies, and most of my uncles and aunts got saved on that time, and my grandmother did. My granddad was a little more hard to get into his heart, but he eventually gave his life to our Savior, thankfully. So that's my dad in 1971. Gave his life to Jesus and was baptized by Mr. Klingon and at a river, which is now dry, but it was a river before. And so then in 1981, my parents got married. Well, before that, the Baca family moved down south in Mexico, and the other, we can see here. Sit right there, kind of this one. So right there where it says DF, like in the center part of Mexico, that's where, very close to there, it's where still my family lives and most of my relatives. So they moved because of work reasons, they moved to that area. And that's where my dad met my mom. But my dad was very close to the Klingons. They were always dear to his heart. He always, any free time from his job or anything, he will go back and visit the Klingon family, and we would all go there. So he kept very close in touch with the Klingon family. That's my family. That's my dad and my mom. My siblings, that's me when I was little. And so in all these visits, it was very impactful. Like, I saw the Klingons' life, and I can tell that they have beautiful feet, because it says in Romans 10, 13, and 15, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So that is Mr. and Mrs. Klingon, and they have beautiful feet. They would serve anyone. We would go up there anytime, and they always have their house full of people. They always were doing different activities. They were very active in any and every youth activity. Mrs. Klingon was always baking something very yummy for everyone, and I could see the love that they had for the Lord, but through serving others. And they were there just because they loved the Lord, because they loved the people. They were never saying, and that's why I mentioned that I didn't even know that it was a connection, like a CMML thing or something, because they were not advertising themselves as missionaries, or they were from the States, or they were never talking about how wonderful the States were, or nothing. They would just leave there and serve, and they were, for me, they were Grandpa and Grandma Klingon. So going back to the map, through all their work that they were doing, eventually most of their kids started also, or were started helping start other assemblies. And right now I think there are around like 12 assemblies in the area. And then they're still growing. I can't keep up with numbers, but there are a lot of assemblies that started with the Klingon's work. These are just some pictures of the camps and that's Mr. Klingon and my mom and my little brother, my little sister. And so we would join, and through all those meetings and camps and all, God was working in my life. I could say I gave my life to the Lord, or I recognized that I needed a Savior at maybe 8 years old, and I trusted the Lord. I knew that He had died on the cross for me and that I needed a Savior. But I feel like I didn't leave the way He wanted me to leave until later. But let me back up and I'll finish that story in a minute. So the Peaceland family are commended from an assembly in California in 1990. So that's my husband's family. And they came and they lived with the Klingons for a while because they wanted to learn skills, language, everything. And they ended up settling in the other state that is very close to Coahuila. And so they are in Durango, and they stayed there. So anytime we would go up and visit the Klingons, the Peaslands were there, and we became good friends. And that's a picture of John's graduation, and the other picture is the Peaslands and my family together. And I love that verse. It says, "He who choreographs the stars in their courses is also in charge." And it's not a verse. It's Elizabeth Elliot saying, sorry. "It's also in charge of the tiniest details of our lives." And he knew all my story before. He knew that we were going to meet. And at that time, at John's graduation, And the other picture, we didn't, there wasn't anything between us, but we were very good friends. But in all that time, God was working in my heart. I had a heart for missions since I was like 15 years old. There's a song that I like very much that it says, "I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your ways." And I used to sing it a lot, and I really wanted to go to Africa and be a missionary. But it's interesting how God moves everything, and sometimes at the time you don't understand it, but later you do. I did go on a missions trip, a small one, to Chiapas, Mexico. So that's very south. That's border with Guatemala. And I had great experiences there. That was before getting married. I loved being with the kids and all the missionary work. It was a medical missions trip. And so it was a very good time. But there was a time in my life after that I came to the point where I realized that I was doing everything because my parents would tell me, because that's what you do, because in the assemblies, that's what you did. So my parents started an assembly down south in Mexico too, and I used to help with childcare. I would help leading girls' Bible studies. I will play the piano for the church. Even though when I started playing, I was just playing with one finger, but there was no one else to play. So I would sit there and play, and I would serve the Lord in many ways. But I got to the point where I had to like step back and say, why am I doing this? Do I just do it because it's what it's expected from me, or because I really love the Lord? And so that's why I understood this verses that's in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10 that says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I felt like in my weakest point, and all of these, you couldn't see it from the outside. It was all inside. It was, I was in a big battle just inside of me. But I realized that when I am weak, then I can let the Lord work through my life, and then I am strong. Also, Isaiah 55:8-9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And it was very hard for me not understanding why my parents didn't let me go to Africa, because there was a great opportunity. There was an opening, or they were looking for senior high schoolers to go and help in a Christian school in Africa. And you could finish your school there, but at the same time help. And so I could really, I was there, I almost signed up, but my parents said, not right now. And then the OM ship came by. Like, we had a conference where they were signing up young people. And at this time, I was maybe 19, something like that, and or 20. And I was ready to sign up to go for a year on the ship. And my parents said, not right now. And then there were several opportunities like that, and my parents said, keep saying no. And I said, well, I am trying to serve the Lord, and I don't know, like, I couldn't understand why couldn't I go if I was willing. And so that's why I chose this verse, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and but God's ways are higher than my ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts. And some years later, and that's a story for another day. It's a a nice, it was it's a big story, but I got married to John. So this is a verse, and it says, "The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel in the night. Also, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken." I feel like when I finally surrendered even my desires to be a missionary and my desires to travel the world and everything, when I finally surrendered that to the Lord, and also my desires to get married, because I did want to get married. I didn't know to whom, but I wanted to get married. When I finally surrendered all that to him, it's like God put the stars together, like Elizabeth Elliot said, and it all lined up, and John asked me to marry him. We didn't date. We were good, very, very good friends. We knew each other from when I was 8 and he was 10, and there was no need of dating. We just knew each other, so he just asked, and I said yes. So now it's, we've been married for 13 years, and almost all those years, John knew my desire of becoming a missionary or traveling or something, like going somewhere else as a missionary. John grew as a missionary kid, so I thought marrying a missionary kid, we're gonna go to Africa or somewhere. And John also kept saying, not right now. I'm like, really, Lord? But we were seeking God's will for our lives. So he got this General Motors job before getting married. So we were in Mexico for 3 years. Then General Motors moved him up to the States, to Baltimore, and we were there for some years. Then they moved us to Michigan, and all that time we kept praying and even trying some more of like a ministry work, not so much as missionaries, but as ministry. We send applications, we talk to people, and the doors kept closing every time. So, I feel, and it happened again when I finally surrendered my desires to the Lord once more. He opened this opportunity from CMML. The board asked if someone in the board was willing to step up and fill this new position that they were thinking about opening. And John came home and said, "What do you think?" And I said, "Well, it's like a ministry. It's very different from what I had in mind, but it's just working for the Lord full time. And of course, I wasn't gonna be directly working, but I could support my husband and work in whatever he needed me to do." And so he said yes, and now we are here, and I feel like it's a privilege. We've been traveling this time, and even in New Jersey, we get to host missionaries and hear all these stories, and I feel like we're in a very privileged position of just like John said last night, sitting on the front row and looking at all that God is doing, and supporting my husband as he served those who serve. I never imagined that this was what God wanted us to do. I never imagined that I was gonna be the CMML's whatever director's wife. That never crossed my mind. I wanted to serve the Lord, but I wanted to serve Him in my own terms, and God has brought me to this day, I know it's a privileged place to be. And now I homeschool my four kids, and that's also a privilege. And that's where God wants me right now, guiding them, and I don't know, preparing maybe future missionaries or future servants of the Lord in some way. But I've learned that I needed to be willing to do God's will in my life in order for him to use me. And so very quickly, I would like to see the life of Ruth. I'm sure you all know the Ruth stories, and if you haven't read it, I encourage you to read Ruth just from beginning to finish. It's like a novel. It's very easy to read, and it's very, has a lot of truth in it. And Ruth was a stranger. She was a widow. She was a homeless. She was penniless. She didn't have hope. She, her plans changed drastically when her husband and all the men in her family died. She wasn't even an Israelite or from God's chosen people. She really didn't have hope. So, I look at her as someone that had a planned life. She was planning to live a happy life there, close to her mother, I'm sure, close to her friends and sisters and family, and she had it all perfect, and then the men die. But she chose to surrender, and we need to choose to surrender. In Ruth 1:16 and 17, it says, "But Ruth said, 'Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you.'" She's talking to Naomi. "For where you will go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." So she recognized that Naomi's God was the real God, was the true God, and she chose to surrender to Him and to His will. And she knew that that meant following Naomi, even to a strange place, to another people. She had to leave her own family, her own everything that she knew, and but she decided to do so because she knew that that Naomi's God was the real God. Then she chose to serve, and we need to choose to serve, like Ruth. It says in Ruth 2:2-3, and Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. So she set out and went. So she didn't just go and stay still. She did something about it. When we choose to serve, other people notice. And it's not that we're going to do it just for other people to see, but it will be evident for the right people to see. In this case, it was Boaz, that he saw that she was a virtuous woman and that she wanted to serve, and that's why later on he would marry her. So we need to be able and available to serve. And in 1 Peter, there's one verse I would like to go to. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So if we have a gift, let's use it. Doesn't matter if it's the gift of being a good cleaner, the gift of giving, the gift of serving, the gift of cleaning tables, the gift of cleaning bathrooms, the gift of taking care of kids, the gift of writing letters, writing notes. You don't know how encouraging it is for a missionary to get a note. I've heard it over and over. Just the people that just write to them, maybe a birthday card or just a thank you note or just a verse. When they get something on the mail, it's very, very encouraging. Even that is serving the missionaries and serving others. So God has gave us, each one of us, gifts that we should use to serve others. And then lastly, choose to pursue intimacy. And this is intimacy with our Savior. In Ruth 3:3, it says, wash therefore and anoint yourself and put on your cloak and go down to the threshing floor. And I wrote also the verse in the New International Version because it's easier to understand. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor. So she changed, and this is very interesting, that she changed her clothes. And that means leave your past behind. Just leave it there. She was not presenting herself as a widow anymore. She was presenting herself as an available servant that she wanted to be in. We should leave anything, even if it seemed like a nice dream. If I kept crying or dreaming about being a missionary instead of supporting my husband and teaching my kids and serving my family, I would not be doing well my job that I have right now. Maybe one day, in this past, we had a MOP, I don't remember how it's called, a program. It's a mission orientation program. It's like a camp for people that want to go as a missionary. And there was a couple that are retiring, or they just retired, and they're preparing themselves to go to the Philippines. And that was very encouraging because I knew it's not too late to serve the Lord. Like, you could go in any age. But still, I'm not just dreaming about that day. That day might never come. I am trying to just hold what I have right now and do it with God's strength that he has given me. And so let's let go of our old clothes and get dressed and go forward. And I'm sure it was very hard for Ruth to pursue intimacy, to go and lay down at Boaz's feet. I can't imagine how she felt. I'm sure she was embarrassed, nervous, everything, not knowing what she was gonna face. But she did it anyways because she knew that was the right thing to do, and the Lord blessed her. And then we see how even other people blessed the Lord because of what she was able and wanted to do. So even the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel." If she wouldn't be willing to do the right thing, then people would not have blessed the Lord. Naomi would not have been blessed and have again hope in the future. And even God blessed Ruth to the point that she is in the genealogy of Jesus, which I find that as a great privilege for not even being an Israelite girl. So, God used Ruth in mighty ways. I know God will use me in great ways, and God can use you in great ways too. And I'll finish with a quote from Elizabeth Elliot that says, "What I want is the will of God, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else." And for me, that's a powerful statement, because she just lost her husband after she wrote that, but she still says, "I don't want anything else but to do God's will." So this is my testimony. This is something from the Lord's word, and now I think we still have time for questions, if you have any questions. Yes, so General Motors, and like John said, they paid for our missions bills. He says that just because they kept moving us around, so we were in many different assemblies. Every time they would move us, we will take that as the Lord's will for us to move somewhere else, and we right away tried to look for an assembly or some place to an assembly to be with the brethren there, and serve the Lord in any way. So that was one of General Motors, assignments. It was a small project that John had to oversee the building of a new plant. So we went to Mexico for a year and a half, and we found a little assembly there that we could be part of, and we told them, "We're just going to be here a year and a half, but we want to serve. What can we do?" And right away they put us to work. Yes, and so that was a blessing. We were then 2 hours away from my family, which was a big blessing too. It didn't last enough, but but yes, it was from General Motors. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I was saved. I knew I needed a savior. I knew I had sin, and I knew that Jesus had died on the cross for me when I was 8 years old. Then in my heart, I feel like I wasn't doing the things as I should. I wasn't living my life for Christ as I should. And it's like I gave my life again to the Lord when I was maybe 20 years old. I recognized that I needed to be thankful for what the Lord had saved me from. And it's like I started all over again. But I know I was saved at the age of 8. I just wasn't inside of me, wasn't leaving as a saved girl. You couldn't tell from the outside. But yes, before, when I wanted to go to Africa, I just wanted to share what the Lord had done. I wanted to share that Jesus died on the cross for everyone. I wanted that experience of maybe not even knowing the language and the culture. When I was very young, I would read a lot of biographies, and Elizabeth Elliot was a big, I was a big fan, or I am a big fan of her. And so I read all those stories about, the five martyrs, that died on the jungle that day, and then some other missionaries. And so all those adventures, I guess, that's what I wanted. Now I know that we can, be witnesses of what the Lord has made in our lives and what the Lord is making still through us, and that the Lord came and died for everyone. We can do that here. We can do that with people at the supermarket or at the whatever, like anywhere. And I am a missionary in my house, I guess, teaching my kids what the Lord has done. My girls, feels like, of what the Lord is doing and does and did and will be doing for us. But I guess when I was young, I was looking more for the adventures. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess the Lord works in many ways, so we can learn where, like, exactly what we want or what we're going to. Especially, I feel like if someone's going as a missionary, the Lord wants people that are ready to face. I might not have been, I'm sure I was not ready to face, like, the hardships of being a missionary. Maybe it's different in the future, and maybe, I don't know. Now it's really a great privilege to host people in my house, missionaries, like real missionaries. No, missionaries that come from all over the world. Sometimes we have them over to eat. Sometimes we have them over to stay. Even though the house, the big, huge house, it's right 15 minutes from our house, still we offer, and some of them have little kids that are playing with our kids, and they like it very much. And so we have that privilege of hearing all their stories, and but really knowing what the Lord is doing is the most interesting part, and how they have faced tough times that some of us would say, I want to go and do that, but we're not ready for some of those things. And you, if you don't ask questions, I'll keep talking. Because there was one, some people that I heard that they said, I'm not cut to be, even after going as a missionary, came back and said, I'm not cut to be a missionary. I'm not cut to be away from our family, from my family. I'm not cut to do this and that. And I did tell her, I'm not cut to be a mom of four. I'm not cut to be away from my family, like, so, cause I am away from my family too. I am not cut to, like, so many things that you will never be, like, completely ready until the day that all the hardship comes. But you need to, like we said here, choose to surrender, choose to serve, and choose to be close to God always. If you move far away from the Lord, you will fail, and you will not be able to endure all the hardships that comes, no matter if it's in Africa or if it's here. We don't have to be cut to do things. We just have to choose to do them. Yes. Mm-hmm. So there are great opportunities to serve with the people that are migrating from all over the world, and from Mexico especially. I'm going to be honest, some part of me, I came the right way. I did my paperwork. It took us a long time and a lot of money for me in order to be here legally. And it is a little upsetting that people are just coming, like, just coming through and without anything. But at the same time, the Lord is bringing them to us, to be able to share with them. Some people that we would have to go and do like very hard things to be in their communities. They're just coming through and they need to learn English, and that's the way that my grandfather got saved. They need a place to stay, they need food to eat, they need so many things, and I feel like there are so many opportunities to give, to show them love, and to show them why Jesus died for them too. So there's great opportunities to work with illegals, or no, how do you say them? Immigrants. Aliens, they call us. Immigrants, and from all over the world. And we should, instead of resent and be maybe mad about them just coming in an illegal form, Jesus died for them too. So we should let them know that. There was this school, and it was in South Africa. So that South Africa is a country in Africa, and they had an AC, accelerated Christian program, school there in South Africa. I wanted to go to that school, but any school, any part in Africa would do now. But my husband visited Zambia about 5 years ago, and he got to meet a lot of the missionaries there, and a hospital, and I don't know the names of, but it was a school, a boarding school, Sikeji, I think it's called, and that seemed also like a dream missionary job, and yeah, and that was my daughter. Yes. No, I haven't. I personally have not known any immigrant. There's a lady in our church that works with a refugee something. So we donate, like food and clothes and things like that. We've supported her. In New Jersey, we live in New Jersey right now, and I know they are coming from Afghanistan and all those places. They're coming refugees there. So I don't know their language. It's a little difficult. That's why we've been supporting this lady that does go from our assembly to this, I don't know if it's a camp or it's a, what is it, but we're supporting in that way. It would be very interesting to be able to work with the immigrants that come from Mexico. I guess they're like in a south from us. But I do know some, there's a couple that is a missionary in Colombia that they have a lot of refugees, if you call them, that are coming from Venezuela. They are escaping, and they are working a lot, and they have hosts in their house, people that they don't know. They just come in, and this couple, the missionary couple, was just in our house and was telling us all those stories that were very interesting. And one day they opened their house for this family with, I think, four kids, and they said he knew that if they stayed in the streets, the kids would be very cold. So he invited them in their house, and the kids were just made a mess of her house. And they even got because they were renting. So the renter, the people that rent, the landlord, they asked them to leave after that visit. But they said we would do it again. We're so happy to give, because we saw how this family was so impressed by their giving. They would never expect that. And he said, well, I hope we had planted a seed, and they gave them a Bible, and they gave them some money so they could make it to whatever they were going. But they were so impressed by them being willing to give them so much that they feel like the Lord will be speaking to their hearts through that. even though they lost even their house. So it's interesting to hear all those stories, even though we haven't had the opportunity to have immigrants with us yet. We can close. Can I pray? Is that okay? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for this women that came. Please help us be like Ruth and be willing to serve you and pursue intimacy with you. Help us to be close to you and help us to be content in whatever situation you have us. Help us to be willing to do what you want us to do and not just be stuck in our dreams and in our past. Help us have a good fellowship the rest of the day, and bless John and Danny that are going to be sharing, and speak through them, and thank you for their willingness to speak, and thank you for everyone in this assembly. Bless them and bless their openness to have us here. Thank you. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.